This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Well, this week, a movie that is not yet out has been making headlines. It is about a massage parlor and prostitution ringleader who happened to also be a trans man. It's set in the 70s and 80s. His name was Dante Tex Gill, and the film has a great title, Rub and Tug, but that's about it, really. So they've cast the role of Dante, and he's going to be played by Scarlett Johansson. Cue us all with our collective, There's been a backlash among trans activists and actors in the media. I want to give you a little taste of that. Writing in the New York Times, Jennifer Finney Boylan wrote, quote, "There are hundreds, if not thousands, of trans actors ready to play these parts. We deserve the chance to represent our own truth." And on Twitter, Sabrina Oldwich, oh my gosh, this just disappeared. I'm sorry. You'll cut that out. Okay. On Twitter, Sabrina Oldwich said, "Somebody should make a movie about Scarlett Johansson and cast Laverne Cox to play her." Also on Twitter, Dominic Evans says, "If you're not trans, shut up about Scarlett Johansson. You don't get to tell trans people, especially trans masculine people, how to feel or respond to this." Actress Trace Lizette said, "So you can continue to play us, but we can't play you." And then, of course, actress, activist, writer Jen Richards had a lot to say. And you should go back and read all the threads. Well, of course, I saw this and I thought, I'm calling up Jen because I've got to talk to Jen about this. And so she's been on the show before, but let me refresh your memory because she's done a lot of shit since then. Jen Richards is a writer and actress, as well as a consultant and advocate who works with national organizations and media projects. She's the co-writer, star, and producer of the Emmy-nominated series Her Story, co-producer of the upcoming docuseries More Than Tea, and writer of its accompanying Trans 102 series. A 2016 Outfest screenwriting fellow for her feature script, Any Given Week. She's made appearances on CMT's Nashville, Better Things, Two Sentence Horror Stories, Take My Wife, and Doubt. Jen was a series regular on E's I Am Kate, featured in Logo's Beautiful As I Want to Be and AOL's True Trans with Laura Jane Grace. She's also appeared in several videos for BuzzFeed, OWN, and After Ellen. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, Jen.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So I have this feeling that you may have some thoughts on this Scarlett Johansson debacle.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no feelings whatsoever. I think I'm empty of feelings because I poured them all out on Twitter in the last 48 hours.
Okay, well, let's recap then.
Where should we start?
Why is this such a fuck up?
It's just, you know, it's something I've been wondering a lot with my friends who are all inside this industry, is how this could have happened. Like, we really, each time this comes up, we talk about it. It's a teaching moment. People learn, they grow, they think this will never happen again. And then 6 months later, it happens again. And it's astonishing to us that everyone hasn't received the memo. And I find myself wondering, like, are people like Scarlett Johansson really so insulated that they're completely unaware of how much things have changed and how unacceptable this is? Or do they really just not care? And tragically, I don't know which is true.
And, you know, like, I remember the conversation about the Danish girl? It was like, okay, we have Eddie Raymond, but we won't do that again.
Yeah, exactly.
And even Jeffrey Tambor, who's problematic, said in his acceptance speech at the Emmys, the next time there's a trans character, it needs to be played by a trans person.
Yeah, he said, may I be the last cis person to get an award for playing a trans part.
Yeah.
It's really astonishing.
And it's frustrating. It must be frustrating to you as a trans actor.
It's frustrating on multiple levels. It's frustrating as a trans person who cares about authentic representation. It's frustrating as a trans actor who's watching my friends be systemically excluded from the industry that they are so ready to be a part of. It's frustrating just as a rational human being who has to see the same fatuous arguments trotted over and over again by pandering, condescending asshats on Twitter who think they know more about this issue than those of us who've been working on it for a decade.
Absolutely. Well, let's address some of the critics. I actually found one tweet which essentially summarizes about 150 of the tweets, because apparently there's only a few arguments here.
Yeah.
Carlos Rebo writes on Twitter, why the hell shouldn't she play a trans role? It's called acting.
It's called
her profession.
Acting.
Oh, let's just address it's called acting.
Those three words are the bane of my existence. Not only because it's a ridiculous, nonsensical argument, but everyone says it as if like it's super obvious thing that like we just haven't thought about. Like, oh, it's called acting. Thank you. What was I talking about all these years? Thank you for clarifying that. It like presumes that we don't know what we're doing, and it's infuriating. Yes, of course, it's called acting. We are not talking about the right of any one actor to play any particular given part. We are talking about this as being symptomatic of a systemic exclusion of marginalized people from the process itself. We are talking about the fact that it's called acting is used over and over again, primarily to justify the rights of white people to play whatever parts they want to play, and never used to lift up marginalized people and to allow us to even play ourselves, much less other parts. In an ideal world, of course, I would love for anyone to be able to play any part. I have played cis parts. I would like to continue doing so. I would love to play a mom. There's so many things that I would like to do. And I think there's some fantastic actors out there who I'd love to see take on trans parts, but not until the playing field is level. You know, while trans people are still being kicked out of the military, while doctors are being told that they can have a religious exemption from treating our medical conditions, while we're kicked out of churches and schools and homes, and our murder rates and suicide rates are so much higher than the other demographics, I'd like a little bit of equity to take place in this realm as well.
I think I read a really startling statistic. Something like 80% of Americans don't know a trans person in their personal life and rely on representations to make judgments and know how they feel about trans people.
And if that's true, and as far as I can tell, that is true, if all you know is what you see on screen, and all you see on screen is people like Jared Leto and Jeffrey Tambor and Eddie Redmayne, et cetera, playing trans women, you think of trans women as men and hair and makeup. If you see people like Scarlett Johansson as a trans man, you think a trans guy is really just a woman in a suit with a fake mustache. It reifies the wrong gender and our understanding of trans people. And it's part of why we are so far backwards on this discussion.
I'm also really curious about, you know, I had a guest on last week. I had Donna Minkowitz on, who talked about this amazing article she wrote in The Village Voice about how she botched and broke the Brandon Tina story.
Oh, wow.
Because she misgendered Brandon Tina at the time. And so I read on Bustle that there is talk that they don't actually know how this guy identified. So the Hollywood Reporter says it's a woman who succeeded by assuming the identity of a man. Vulture said Johansson's character is a trans masculine crime boss. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said a lesbian who dressed like a man. And even Buck Angel got into the fray and said, this person can't even be transgender because that word didn't exist in the 70s and 80s. He would be a transsexual. So what about this idea that we don't know? How can we know? That kind of thing.
There's always gray area in these things. And if we had good faith discussions, then we could explore those gray areas with a degree of like nuance and sensitivity. But those gray areas are really just being used as a bludgeon from people who don't want to have this discussion at all and don't want to open the doors to trans people. In this particular case with Mr. Gill, we know that he asked everyone to call him Mr. Gill. And I did see that he'd had some kind of gender-affirming surgery. I don't know exactly what. We know that, as far as we can tell, as best guess, he today would be what we would see as a transgender individual or a transsexual, if we want to appease Buck's peccadillo there. You know, it's always a little bit tricky when we look backwards because mm-hmm. the categories aren't the same. People would define, you define yourself according to the categories of that day, and our sense of those categories are constantly evolving and changing. This is a pretty unambivalent case. It's pretty clear that Mr. Gill both saw himself as a masculine person, as a man, and wanted others to see him that way.
Yeah, so you think this sort of like, we don't really know, how do we really know, is kind of a distraction.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's people who don't want to be accountable.
Yeah.
If you're talking like 300 or 400 years ago, something like Orlando, you know, I'm a little bit more open to those discussions. But to do it, you know, reactively in a situation like this in order to justify a cravenly opportunistic casting choice, to me is a bad faith argument.
Absolutely. I agree. Okay, we got to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Scarlett Johansson reacted to the backlash, which itself was awful. So more with Jen Richards after the break.
Sharpen your pencils and polish your apples because the Pleasure Chest is taking you back to school. The Pleasure Chest is the only adult boutique that offers free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to increase their sexual IQ. With classes ranging from strap on, get off, to the ultimate O, to spank someone happy, education has never been so stimulating. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a hot study date or pick up some skills yourself. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide and use the code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Happy Pride from the Pleasure Chest. All month long, the Pleasure Chest is showing their love with a series of queer-themed workshops designed to give folks a safe space to explore identity, gender, and sexuality. Don't miss classes on queering your sex, strapping it on, anal play, tantra for queers, a range of SM topics, plus special guest educators Damon Holtzum and Sunny Rogers. Remember, when you attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest, you receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bonus! You can also find Pleasure Chest's street teams with awesome giveaways at Pride Parades in Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago. Visit pleasurechest.com for the full lineup of events and curated queer collections, such as M4M, Queer Couples, and Strap On, Get Off. Use the coupon code Tristan to receive a free massage candle with every purchase and pride on.
Life on the Swing Set is heading to paradise for the 7th time. And once again, we're taking over Desire Resort Riviera Maya in Cancun, Mexico.
With this year's hosts, me, Cooper, Ginger, Dylan, JV and Chara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, and author, podcaster, and feminist porn filmmaker Tristan Taramino, our takeover allows us to mold the resort in our geeky, sexy, and inclusive image with orgies, classes about pegging, flogging, and fisting, theme nights, a full dungeon night, naked karaoke, mutual masturbation, and massages.
From November 3rd through the 10th, 2018, this beautiful all-inclusive resort will be full of sexy swing setters from every letter in the LGBTQA spectrum. Poly, swingers, nudists, kinksters, doms, subs, and those who are just curious about what a week at a sexy resort offers.
We take all the best of the swing set,
our values, our experience, our co-hosts, our community, and we bring it all together with the best resort staff on earth to create a queer, kink, and poly-friendly, consent-aware, and sexy-as-hell experience for everyone who joins us.
To come with us on our Swing Set Takes Desire 2018 trip and hear us podcast about our previous trips, head over to ssdesire.com. We'll be there to welcome you home.
Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free one-year trial.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with Jen Richards, who's an actress, a writer, an activist, about this news that Scarlett Johansson has been cast in a film to play a trans man. Now, there was a lot of backlash on media and social media, and Scarlett finally did respond to it. And remind me, Jen, what she said?
I think it was her publicist basically said, anyone who has a problem with this, we would direct them to the representatives for Jeffrey Tambor, Jared Leto, and one other name I can't remember.
Yeah. Now, what is that about?
Yeah, it's just so craven. It's almost like they're saying, like, well, hey, these other actors won awards for this, so what's the problem?
Right. And also, again, like this didn't happen yesterday. Those casting decisions did not happen last week.
Exactly. And it really, I mean, it doesn't take into account the fact that there have always been, like, there were people who were very upset about Jared Leto at mm-hmm. that time, that he was winning that award. This is not a new issue. And their inclusion of Jeffrey Tambor is particularly befuddling. I mean, not only is he under this cloud of, you know, sexual harassment for having, you know, been inappropriate with two trans women on the set, and then fired from Amazon after a lengthy internal investigation, despite him being the star of one of their most high profile shows.
Yeah. So name dropping him seems
right.
Weird.
And even like, even that aside, he was very loud about saying, like, I shouldn't have been cast in this part. I should be the last person to ever get an award. It's like,
right.
Are they just been stuck in some, are just like on some island off the coast of Greece for like the last 2 years, just not having any clue? I don't even know.
And also, it's the same director as this director from a film that Scarlett Johansson did a couple of years ago, where she played a Japanese woman and people freaked out.
Yeah.
So maybe it's time to cut the ties with this director. Like, maybe it's like, oh, that whole thing didn't work. Maybe I shouldn't then, you know, like, listen to him. I mean, I don't know, you know, who brought the part to
her. His name is Rupert Sanders, and he's such an interesting example, because here was a guy who, I don't think he went to film school or anything, and he was doing commercials. Like, he was shooting commercials, and his first movie was the Snow White movie, the Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh.
So here's a guy who basically comes out of nowhere and gets the opportunity to helm this like major, you know, major project with like A-list stars. And it's not that I begrudge him that. I think that's wonderful that, you know, people can get these kind of opportunities. But that's the kind of opportunity that only happens for like straight white cis men. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. that's the very kind of thing we're talking about. He probably genuinely thinks, like, well, hey, I earned this all on my own just through the sheer you know, undeniability of my talent. So surely everyone else should be able to do that. And if there aren't any famous trans actors, it must be because they just don't want to be, or they're simply not good enough.
Okay. But that's also a problem. Do people really think there aren't enough good trans actors? I mean, surely, I know we're talking about different gender identities here, but surely Pose, this new Ryan Murphy project, has the largest cast of transgender actresses ever. It's made quite a splash, quite a name for itself. So how can we keep saying there are no trans actors?
Well, we can't, simply. It's absurd. I mean, it was absurd 5 years ago, and it's patently absurd now, particular with something like Pose as such a powerful counter-argument. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
Do you think Pose was a risk for Ryan Murphy?
I do. And I think Ryan Murphy is a really good example of what you can do when you actually care about these issues and you want to have a positive impact on the lives of the marginalized people whose story you're telling. Not only did he go out on a limb and fight to have trans people play trans people, he got trans people, you know, behind the camera as well. There are trans writers, there are trans directors, there are trans crew member. And he turned around and donated every dollar he made from that show to trans organizations.
I mean, oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like, and highlighted a new organization each week and talked about the kind of work they were doing. And the show has gone up in the ratings every single week. You know, it's one of the most buzzed about shows out there. It's
very
effective.
Is. Yeah. So, and I feel like now, you know, this is the lesson. I mean, they've learned the lesson over and over again.
That's the thing. I feel like when my series Her Story came out, like there was that same conversation. Like, well, here's the counter argument. Like, here's the proof that trans people can tell their own stories as well, if not better, than anyone else. But not everyone seems to get the message.
And have you seen this open letter that Murray Hill has written?
No, but wouldn't he be perfect for the part?
Well, here's what he did. He did a side-by-side photo of Gil and nice. Him. And they're like the same exact size, body type. They're both wearing tuxedos. They like wow. have the same haircut. And I was just like, oh, wow, this is really striking, actually.
Well, now, and imagine a scenario where Scarlett Johansson was a little bit more clued into these issues and actually cared, and her team cared, but they still wanted to tell this story. And she decides, instead of casting herself as Gil, cast herself as his wife or one of the prostitutes in the brothel that he ran, and like really played that part up so that she could still use her star power to get the movie made, but then put someone like Murray in the part. And then like really brought this person to a whole different level of celebrity, and trans people could see themselves reflected in this story, and it would do so much good.
This is an amazing concept, like where you're, again, you are not just saying you're an ally, you're actually putting your money where your mouth is, you're actually giving up something in order to really lift up a marginalized population or community. So I love this idea. And if there's any A-list actors listening, please, when that script comes to you, turn it around on its head and you be the wife or the girlfriend or the other female sort of lead. And I love this idea, Jen. I love idea that they can just turn it around.
And we get so focused on these particularly egregious, you know, flagrant examples of exploitation of trans stories by cis people. But I have to say, like, on the ground, you know, I've been in a lot of rooms, you know, at major studios in the last couple of years and talked to, you know, countless writers and producers and actors and directors. And the conversation really has shifted. I'm attached to several projects, including some very high profile places, where casting cis people as trans characters is an absolute non-starter. Like, they just take it as a given that trans people at this point in time should be playing trans parts, that they should be doing their due diligence of doing the work of finding those trans actors, and even going a step further and finding trans writers and trans people behind the camera. I really do think this conversation has changed dramatically in the last few years, and that for the most part, with these glaring exceptions, things really are getting better behind the scenes.
Well, that's good to hear, because I don't want Pose to just be like the outlier, right?
I don't think it will be. You know, there's a saying in Hollywood that no one here ever wants to be first, but everyone wants to be second. And in terms of transcasting, Transparent was not a first. It wasn't really about being trans. It was about being Jewish in LA, and you know, the main character wasn't trans, or the main actor wasn't trans. Pose really is the real deal. It's mm-hmm. it's about the lived experience of trans people, and it has trans people all across the board. So it really is a first. And now that that door has been opened, I suspect, particularly if it does continue to succeed, that other platforms will follow suit.
Good. Well, let me tell people how they can find you to cast you, to hire you as a writer, or just to read your Twitter rants.
They're okay. Pretty good. I'm pretty good on Twitter.
Jen Richards is at smartassjen.com. She is also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr as smartassjen. So good that you got all of those. So now
I
we
like,
just have
you know,
to say
consistency
one.
Consistency in my branding.
I love that. I love that. And we will look for you on the small screen and the big screen soon. I know you can't talk about a secret project, but I know about it and it's really big, people.
You know, I don't actually think it's a secret.
That's right. They've announced it in like at least Variety or The Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, so I've been cast as a series regular in an HBO show. We just shot the pilot in New York a couple of weeks ago. And if HBO likes it, then the show will go forward and I will be on HBO.
Fantastic. Well, we're all crossing our fingers for that. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jen.
Yeah, thanks for talking about this issue. And just for the note, this is the second time you've had me on my show and we haven't talked about sex, which I take a little personally, Tristan.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, Jen. But sometimes there are these other issues that I want to talk about.
I'm not just a political being.
I know. Okay,
right.
So the
Thank
next
so much.
Thing, we're going to talk about sex. Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Bye, Tristan.
Bye. Coming up after the break, well, we know what Scarlett Johansson is doing wrong. Let's talk about who's doing something right. Yes, let's end on a good note, shall we? Stay tuned, listen to some commercials, and come right back. Happy Pride from the Pleasure Chest. All month long, the Pleasure Chest is showing their love with a series of queer-themed workshops designed to give folks a safe space to explore identity, gender, and sexuality. Don't miss classes on queering your sex, strapping it on, anal play, tantra for queers, a range of SM topics, plus special guest educators Damon Holtzum and Sunny Rogers. Remember, when you attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest, you receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bonus! You can also find Pleasure Chest street teams with awesome giveaways at Pride Parades in Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago. Visit PleasureChest.com for the full lineup of events and curated queer collections, such as M4M, Queer Couples, and Strap On, Get Off. Use the coupon code Tristan to receive a free massage candle with every purchase and Pride on.
Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Life on the Swing Set is heading to paradise for the 7th time, and once again, we're taking over Desire Resort Riviera Maya in Cancun, Mexico.
With this year's hosts, me, Cooper, Ginger, Dylan, JV and Chara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, and author, podcaster, and feminist porn filmmaker Tristan Taramino, our takeover allows us to mold the resort in our geeky, sexy, and inclusive image with orgies, classes about pegging, flogging, and fisting, theme nights, a full dungeon night, naked karaoke, mutual masturbation, and massages.
From November 3rd through the 10th, 2018, this beautiful all-inclusive resort will be full of sexy swing setters from every letter in the LGBTQA spectrum. Poly, swingers, nudists, kinksters, doms, subs, and those who are just curious about what a week at a sexy resort offers.
We take all the best of the swing set, our values, our experience, our co-hosts, our community, and we bring it all together with the best resort staff on earth to create a queer, kink, and poly-friendly, consent-aware, and sexy-as-hell experience for everyone who joins us.
To come with us on our Swing Set Takes Desire 2018 trip and hear us podcast about our previous trips, head over to ssdesire.com. We'll be there to welcome you home.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. So I wanted to go over the Scarlett Johansson fiasco as an example of where Hollywood continues to go wrong. But then I also want to highlight a project that is by, for, and about trans and non-binary folks. I want people to know about this film. I want them to support this film in material ways. And I want to send a message to the public that we can get these films made. I don't want to give Rub and Tug any more publicity. So we're done talking about that. And I really want this film to be trending on Twitter. The hashtag I've created is Death and Bowling Needs You. Hashtag Death and Bowling Needs You. The film is called Death and Bowling. Let me tell you about my guests tonight. Lyle Cash, who is the writer and director, graduated from Oberlin College in 2013 and holds a BA in American Studies. After graduation, he worked with Media Mobilizing Project, a community-based nonprofit that provides media production, training, and advocacy to grassroots organizing campaigns. As a movement media fellow, his work with MMP taught him the power of filmmaking as a political act and imbued him with the importance of visual storytelling as a tool for social activism. In the summer of 2015, Cash worked as a gaffer and an assistant camera on Kairos Dirt and the Errant Vacuum, directed by Madsen Minnax. This experience served as technical training and provided him with boundless creative and aesthetic inspiration. He learned the value of working with and for other trans people to create meaningful, artistically rigorous, boundary-pushing work. Lyle will complete his MFA in film and video from California Institute of the Arts in 2019. Welcome, Kyle. Lyle.
Lyle. Hi.
Oh my God, am I losing my mind? I'm losing my mind. Okay, people. I'm going to get this next one. Really, I'm going to get it. Ariel Mahler, who is the producer and the first assistant director of the film, is a New York-based filmmaker and trans right advocate. Mahler's educational and professional background took root in live theater direction and production. After graduating with an MA in theater education from Emerson College, Mahler co-founded a community-driven nonprofit Shakespeare company and served as associate artistic director from 2012 to 2016. As a freelance film and TV professional, they have worked as a production assistant, assistant director, and producer on shorts, web series, and feature films. They also co-wrote, produced, and starred in the original web series called Bad Ally, an irreverent comedy that explores the femillennial friendship between a white, non-binary trans person and a cisgender, straight, Black woman. Welcome to the show, two of you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to be here.
So, I want to pass right over the Scarlett Johansson thing. I'm just going to ask you if you have any comments or even just like one word to describe it.
I'm a little uninterested in seeing the film.
Okay, you're stop and uninterested.
Uh-huh.
Okay, those are good. Let's talk about your film. Death and Bowling. I want to read the description. It's really compelling. Every Thursday night, the Lavender League Bowling Club descends upon stained bowling alley carpets clad in purple and gold uniforms and ready to finger holes and throw balls. That was a nice one. At a finite horizon. The league is a club for older lesbians led by Susan, a suicidal wig-wearing ex-real estate agent. The women in the league drink, they laugh, they cry, and they talk about love and death, endings and beginnings. Susan's unlikely confidant is our nameless, leather-clad trans protagonist. We call him X. X moved to LA to pursue his dreams of becoming an actor and taking Hollywood by trans storm. He met Susan while picking up extra cash as her pool boy and is now an active member of the Lavender League. X is surrounded by transitions. When death strikes the Lavender League, which happens frequently, X serves as the unofficial eulogist. On camera, he is made to kill himself over and over again, following the repetitive direction of supposedly feminist filmmakers. Okay, and then this goes on to have this thing where Susan's trans son comes after he's learned that she died, and then Alex and X proceed to sort of interact. So why this film and why now?
Well, first of all, we're starting a trans production company called T4T Productions, and so Death and Bowling is just our first film. But why now has a little bit to do with how we're making this piece. We have more than 30 trans people both in front of and behind the camera lens working on the film, and I think talking about this movie right now is super relevant, partly because we're casting almost an entirely trans cast. And there's only two trans characters, so there's a lot of reversals happening. We have a lot of trans people playing roles that are either unspecified, like you don't know and it doesn't matter if the character is trans or not, but also trans actors playing cisgender roles.
Oh, okay, this is great. And this is like the future. This is where we have to head, obviously. This is the direction.
We hope so.
Where are you in the production process?
So we were fortunate enough to do something that a lot of productions aren't able to do, which is that we've already gone into principal photography and we have shot for 6 days back in May. And that was really pivotal for us because we were able to assemble our crew. We were able to get our feet wet working together. And also we were able to gather footage that we are now using to create a trailer, to pitch the film, and to show people kind of what we're all about and what we're trying to do. So we are currently sort of in between two production phases. We shot for 6 days. We covered about 23 pages of our script. And now we are raising funds, building our crew, pitching the film, doing everything that we can. And we'll be going back into principal photography in September. And we have 24 shoot dates planned in September. And then we'll be wrapped.
And you're doing a Kickstarter to fund this. So folks can go over to Kickstarter. We're going to tweet out the link. On Kickstarter, you can see the trailer. And you can also see these like fabulous prizes that you get if you donate. So I'm going to encourage everyone to go there and give what you can. And so you said this, and I want to tease this out. Like, what, there were trans crew people on this film. So again, you're having trans folks kind of in every element of it. And why is that important to you?
Well, I think something that is just generally true. It's unfortunate that it's true, but trans people face a barrier in all fields when it comes to employment. And what that translates to in the film industry is that, you know, I work as a freelance filmmaker, and it is very rare that I am on set with one, let alone multiple, other trans people. So I think what feels really exciting on the production end of things is that we are essentially providing training opportunities for trans people who are interested in working in the film industry, but who haven't had that opportunity yet simply because of the barriers that exist between trans people and employment. So we're kind of creating a training ground for trans people to work on their skills in addition to actually making a film that is aesthetically very exciting and inspiring.
Yeah, if you see the trailer. Oh, go ahead, add to that.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. I totally agree with everything Ariel just said, but I think I want to speak to this sort of amorphous, more like magical thing, which is having a ton of trans people on set is just
for me as a trans writer and director, a total dream. There's this director who's a big inspiration for me, Agnes Varda, who I was watching an interview with her about her film Happiness, and someone asked, like, how did you come up with the idea for this project? And she was like, I was so sad that I couldn't spend time with my community every time I shot a film. So I thought, why don't I build a film around a picnic in the sun? So all summer, me and my entire crew and friends and family can be at a picnic while we're working. And so it was really a huge priority for me to, like, kind of create a trans picnic atmosphere. And there's just something different that comes out and is very palpable in the work, I think, when you have a group of more than 30 trans people together collaborating. The performances are going to be different with an immediate trans audience in the room, like adjusting lights, calling action. In Ariel's case, saying, okay, we have 10 more minutes to set up art. Are we ready yet? Like, hearing trans voices around you, it creates a different type of creative space.
Right. And it also totally removes, I think that as trans people, we walk around the world with a certain baggage that just comes with the general transphobia in society. And so when you're in a work environment where you don't have that, where that is just removed, you're just able to work a lot better and a lot more efficiently because you're not constantly wondering, how is someone perceiving me? Am I going to get misgendered? Do people understand my pronouns? You know, all of the things that trans people go through on a daily basis. That's just removed. So we're just able to be together in community making really, really important work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I imagine trans people in the workplace do a fair amount of unpaid labor when cis people ask them questions, when they have to correct people about their pronouns, or they have to be sort of the teacher because this is the first trans person they've ever worked with. And to remove all of that seems very freeing.
To remove all of that, and also it's one thing to say that we have 30 trans people involved, but the reason we're doing this Kickstarter is because it's another thing to say that we're paying them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because, again, people have got to be paid for their work, folks, and you know I believe in this, and I'm pro-union. That you could obviously string it together, right? You could string it together, make your friends work for free, and all of that. But I think it's time that we elevate this looks like a really incredible film, and of course people are doing really good work and they should be paid for that work.
Right, I agree. Yeah, thank you for saying that.
Okay, we have to take a break, and when we come back I'll tell you what's going on at Pleasure Chest, because you're probably like, Tristan, you haven't even said the Pleasure Chest once yet. I'll do it when we get back, and we'll talk more about death and bowling, so stay with us.
Sharpen your pencils and polish your apples, because the Pleasure Chest is taking you back to school. The Pleasure Chest is the only adult boutique that offers free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to increase their sexual IQ. With classes ranging from strap on, get off, to the ultimate O, to spank someone happy, education has never been so stimulating. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a hot study date or pick up some skills yourself. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Life on the Swing Set is heading to paradise for the 7th time, and once again, we're taking over Desire Resort Riviera Maya in Cancun, Mexico.
With this year's hosts, me, Cooper, Ginger, Dylan, JV and Chara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, and author, podcaster, and feminist porn filmmaker Tristan Taramino, our takeover allows us to mold the resort in our geeky, sexy, and inclusive image with orgies, classes about pegging, flogging, and fisting, theme nights, a full dungeon night, naked karaoke, mutual masturbation, and massages.
From November 3rd through the 10th, 2018, this beautiful all-inclusive resort will be full of sexy swing setters from every letter in the LGBTQA spectrum. poly, swingers, nudists, kinksters, doms, subs, and those who are just curious about what a week at a sexy resort offers.
We take all the best of the swing set, our values, our experience, our co-hosts, our community, and we bring it all together with the best resort staff on earth to create a queer, kink, and poly-friendly, consent-aware, and sexy-as-hell experience for everyone who joins us.
To come with us on our Swing Set Takes Desire 2018 trip and hear us podcast about our previous trips, head over to ssdesire.com. We'll be there to welcome you home.
Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Summer is here. Whether you're looking for a travel vibe for your upcoming getaway, a gift for a partner, or just want to try something new, the Pleasure Chest has all your needs covered. Did someone say BOGO? Yes. Now is the best time to shop during the Pleasure Chest's annual buy one, get one sale. Buy one and get half off on all vibrating toys through the month of July. It's perfect if you want to take your play to the next level, have been holding out for that luxury vibe, or you and your partner can't decide on the perfect vibe, so you can get two. Come in or shop online for the best deals yet. From bullet vibes to wands to cock rings to anal toys, the possibilities are endless. Grab your perfect pleasure toy and get a taste of summer at the Pleasure Chest. Hey, and I want to tell you what's going on at the Pleasure Chest. All the classes continue this summer, and I want to tell you about the upcoming ones. In Los Angeles, July 8th, Intimate Partner Yoga with Miyoko. In New York City, July 11th, Slurpee Day, Blowjobs and Beyond. And in Chicago, July 11th, Advanced G-Spotting with Tanya. You can find out about these events and more by going to thepleasurechest.com and click on events. Okay. So I want to catch you up on where we are, folks. We are talking today with Lyle Cash and Ariel Mahler, who are working on this incredible film, Death and Bowling. And on the break, I was talking and I said, you know, I think the cinematography of this film is really beautiful. It's just quite different than other films I've seen. And it has a very specific kind of like aesthetic and style to it. And you talked about, is the cinematographer a trans person?
So our production team is majority trans. Our cinematographer is not. He's an ally and was my first supporter on this project and is also very talented, so I've kept him by my side.
No, we love allies. But, you know, I was thinking about allies. This idea of the crew being full of trans folks. And it also feels like there's a level of ownership that they must take that people maybe don't on a set of just some random other film that they're working on. I mean, do you feel that?
Yeah, I definitely do. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, I worked on a bunch of different sets of TV, movies, all kinds of things. And a lot of the sets that I work on, it just sort of feels like another job. There's this energy that's brought into the space that's like, okay, I'm here for work, but as soon as I can clock out, I'm going to fill out my time card and leave. You know, it doesn't have the sort of passion and excitement and community feeling that Lyle was describing earlier. And I think that, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I can certainly speak for myself. And knowing that the work that I'm doing on this set specifically is advancing what it means to be a trans filmmaker, is advancing artistic rigor within the trans community, is a, you know, project that is so deeply trans in all kinds of different ways, makes me want to work harder and makes me feel passionate and excited to be on set. And I actually look forward to coming to work, you know, every day. And I feel sad when I have to leave because of that sort of community vibe that Lyle was describing. So yeah, I definitely feel that way.
And Lyle?
I mean, it's a little tricky because I'm the writer and director, so I've brought this whole team together, but I can definitely say that I'm both only working on this film, and there's nothing I would rather be doing than collaborating with the people I'm collaborating with. And my team works really, really hard, and I don't know if part of that is that a lot of us are trans and we feel like this project's really important, but I guess I'll just say that. The team works really hard, yeah.
So one of the million-dollar questions I had when I was watching the film is, where did you find your trans male lead who is really hot? And a good actor,
yeah,
by the way. Sorry. Good actor, but yeah.
He's also an incredibly good actor, and so is Tracy Kowalski, his co-star. You know, it's so funny, all this stuff about, like, there being no good trans actors. I found them in like 3 minutes doing a simple search on Backstage, which I think is like one of the biggest online casting databases. So it was pretty easy. And the second I saw their audition tapes, it was like, oh my God, this is Alex and X. And yeah, also Will's really handsome.
What's his full name, Will?
Yeah, and I think, I was just going to say to add to something that that Jen was saying earlier on the earlier segment, there are tons of very talented trans actors out there, and it's, you know, they're out there, we're out there, we're pretty easy to find, and we want the work and we're ready to do it. So yeah, absolutely.
And I think this flies in the face of sort of what mainstream Hollywood thinks, which is like, we're going to have to find some trans person and teach them how to act, right? Because
yeah,
they're like, they don't exist, but in fact they do exist and they're right there. Lyle,
yeah, and we're trying to, you know, I think something when Lyle was talking earlier about the production team that we're starting, T4T Productions, part of what we're hoping that looks like, in addition to one production team, is an entire network of people so that trans artists, trans filmmakers can be collaborating, can be sharing resources so that we know, you know, there's a database of really talented trans actors who are living all across the country who can play specific roles so that we know how to find these people and we know how to contact these people because, you know, they're definitely out there.
And you're both now in L.A., is that right?
So Lyle is in L.A. and Ariel, I'm living in New York City. So it's sort of
So you're both on
effort.
Either coast. Okay.
Right.
I was just wondering about that. Lyle, one of the things that stood out to me and really struck me on the Kickstarter, because there's a ton of information, not just the sort of teaser trailer, but there's also, you know, your mission and stuff about the crew. And and one thing that you said in one of the videos was, no one understands performance like trans people. So I wonder if you might... This is just a great, great line. If you might expand on that.
Yeah, well, I think it might be true. I think even in some of the casting tapes, I mean, Faith Bryan, who plays the captain of the Lavender League, Susan, in her casting tape, she was like, I came out as a trans woman much later in life, and I performed and was an actor for my entire life. Like, I have had that experience because I am trans, and I think I feel a slightly different relationship to transness and performance. I guess I just, I feel very aware that all people, and not just trans people, we perform different roles in our lives every day, and we move through different spaces that require different types of performance, and sometimes that performance can be really fun, and sometimes it can be for survival, but I feel aware of it. And I think formally I've tried to think very critically about performance in this film in particular. The nameless trans protagonist, who we're calling X, he's also a trans actor. And I think it is very difficult for him to know when he is and is not on screen. A lot of the cinematography and our set design we're really walking a line with theatricality. Like, you might see a shot and say, I can totally tell immediately that this is a set. And that's not a mistake in our film. The characters and the story is just as real despite the things that made me feel performed. So that's a little bit about how we've integrated that concept, like, not just in the storytelling, not just in the casting, but also in the way that the film registers visually.
Well, thank you so much, first of all, for making this film. Everyone's got to go to Kickstarter and give these folks money so that this film can get made and everyone can get paid. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. It was really excellent speaking with you, and thank you for doing all of the work that you're doing to amplify trans voices and make sure that the stories are getting told from our community. Thank you for doing that.
So my thanks to Lyle Cash and Ariel Mahler. Remember, their company is called T4TProductions.com, and it's not just making this film, but it's going to make a lot of things and also help network other trans folks who are working in the entertainment industry. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram at Death and Bowling Movie and on Twitter at Death and Bowling. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. You can listen to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And if you leave us a review, that will help other people find the show. Until then, you can get me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Tristan Taramino. If you haven't seen the photos from my Chihuahua's birthday party, you are missing out. And on Twitter, the show is at Sex Out Loud Radio. In the meantime, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.